Amen. Amen. So listen to this tonight, because we're going to talk about Psalm 32. And if you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 32, this particular psalm is one that was sung on the Day of Atonement. And again, just briefly, the Day of Atonement was once a year, and it's still a high holiday in the Jewish faith. It was the day where they sacrificed for the sins of the nation. It's like they went before God with repentant hearts, and the priest took the blood of bulls and goats and cleansed for himself first to make sure he was okay and got his garments all taken care of. And then he went in with the blood that had been sacrificed for the people into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled everything in there. And if it was accepted, right, that there was a celebration that happened as it was accepted, because they knew that all of the sins that had been committed that year were all taken care of. They were under the blood, right? Under the blood. And it's really interesting to me, because when he went into the Holy of Holies, the things that were in there, and you can read about what they were, but there was the Ark of the Covenant. You know what that is? That's where the tablets were, and that's where other things were placed in there. But I love this part of it. It says above that place, above the Ark of the Covenant, was where the cherubim, yes, right? And they stretched out their arms like this, and they actually met. There was two of them that covered it. Yeah. But you know what that's called? That's called the mercy seat.
Oh, yes.
And the mercy seat, watch this, the mercy seat is over the law.
Amen. Oh, that's good.
So what I'm saying is his, and I love this definition of mercy, and I've just been meditating on it more and more and more. The definition of mercy is his loving kindness.
Amen.
So the seat of his loving kindness is over the law. Now, how does that dictate to us tonight? We're gonna find out as we go through this. But think about that again for a minute. We're not under the old covenant. It's all right to look at the old covenant days, but as Gentiles, we're not necessarily governed by those. Although they're magnificent to study, they're magnificent to look at. But watch this. It's like the Sabbath day, for instance. You know, the Sabbath is on Saturday, right? But Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is our atonement. Jesus is the one who took care of all that. But we're going to read this in the light of the New Testament, and I'll show you kind of what I'm talking about. So again, Psalm 32 and verse 1. Blessed. I like that. I like that. In fact, if you go ask David down here, how are you doing today? He'll say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And did you know that you're blessed?
Amen.
If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're blessed. And it's not determined on how you feel. It's not determined on whether your bills are paid. It's not determined on how your, you know, friends are treating you. You're blessed because Jesus has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Found in Ephesians chapter 1. So you can say, I'm blessed, even when you don't feel it. But in this particular, it says blessed, and that means happy. Well, let me just say that again. Happy. That means glad. That means joyful. I'm blessed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. I'm telling you tonight that Jesus paid the price so that the penalty for your sins has already been paid for.
That's right.
Right? So if that's the case, you're blessed.
Amen.
You're happy.
Amen.
You're glad because your sins are not only forgiven, they're taken out of the way.
Amen.
Right? And again, this was on the Day of Atonement, and this was sung. right? So there's a song that's being sung over it. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Yeah.
Now just watch this for a minute. That means on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest went in and he did the sacrifice, if it was accepted, the sins were covered. The difference for us is the sin isn't covered. The scapegoat took the sins and took them away from us. They're never to be remembered again.
Amen.
Come on. Blessed. Are you blessed tonight?
Amen.
I'm blessed. You got to tell your face that every once in a while. You got to tell your whole disposition, because there are things that are going on in our lives. But if we just look at the fact that He is my atoning sacrifice. And the Bible in Hebrews, it talks about He once and for all took that blood into the Holy of Holies, and it was accepted, and thereby I'm right with God. I'm blessed. Blessed is the man. I'm blessed because my sins are forgiven. My transgressions are taken care of. Hold your place there, because we'll be coming back to that. But go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And I know most of you will know this particular psalm, but we're going to read it together. And I think it would be good for us to get in the habit of waking up to this psalm. Watch this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, this is David talking to himself. He's saying, soul or thinking or thoughts, bless the Lord, O my soul. Why? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Now, we're saved, right? The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. I remember the day, the minute, the second when I asked Jesus into my heart. And I knew that I couldn't explain it, tell you why, but that I was different. I was born again. I was begotten from above, right?
Man.
There are days and hours and moments where it's easy to forget what the finished work of Jesus was and it accomplished in me.
Yeah.
So every morning it would be good to get up and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Yeah. Now your body might be going, you know, or I'm going back to sleep, you know, whatever. But no, get in the habit of waking up. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Why? Because my sins are forgiven. My sins are taken away. My sins He remembers no more. What does that mean? In Romans chapter 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. What does that mean? There's no penalty that's associated with your name or my name, because Jesus already took that condemnation in His flesh. Right? So bless the Lord, O my soul. Yeah, but you don't understand. Look who's president. Look who's this. Look at what's happening over here. Look at what they're doing and the ridiculousness of Columbia University and all. No. I understand that. And I'm not saying we should be ostriches. But on the same token, it's like, Lord, I'm not going to let that affect the state of blessedness that I'm in. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to be happy. Why? Because I can bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. For He forgives all of your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. Listen to this. This is so good. Who redeems your life from destruction. who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Is that true for you?
Amen, it is.
You don't always feel like that, but you are a product of what He's done. So that's why you have to get up in the morning and say, soul, listen to me right now. I'm talking to you right now. I'm talking to you. You, right here. You. Bless the Lord. Be grateful to God because He's blessed you with all of these things that we're already talking about. Right? So bless the Lord because He is, Jesus was and is our atoning sacrifice. And it's not something He has to get up tomorrow morning and go, well, I got to take care of those kids again. It's one that He's already done. It's already a completed work. You have to tell yourself that. Let me say that again. You have to tell yourself that. And especially when your feelings and your circumstances and all of that are, you know, just screaming at you something contrary. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I'm so excited. Hallelujah. And we're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read through this and then kind of condense it. We're going to read Romans 4, 1 through 13. For what shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. And I'm just going to stop. I was going to read all the way through it, but I can't. What that's talking about is if your works make you holy, then it's not grace because you earned it. Right? A person works 40 hours, he doesn't go up to the boss and say, well, oh, this is so kind of you to give me the money that we agreed to. Right? No, I earned that. But if the end of the year, Christmas time comes, and the boss says, we've had a really good year this year, here's an extra $10,000. He didn't have to do that. It wasn't in the requirements, but he graced you with that. So all you can do is say, thank you. Right? And so this is what we're talking about here. It's not something that I've earned, but it's something that God has given to me. Right. Verse 3. For again, what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And let me get this into you. If you really understand this and understand that Jesus did everything for us and the price that he paid was for our benefit, you better be grateful. And I mean grateful in a demonstrative way. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I've had a few instances in my life where people did things for me that I thought were pretty extraordinary. And it was like I couldn't go enough and say, I just can't tell you what this means to me. Thanks isn't enough. Right? Because not just what you did for me, but the heart behind what you did blesses me beyond what you can even understand. Amen. And so I want to thank you. And then you might go up to him the next day. I want to thank you. Listen, I'm just calling you again to tell you how grateful I am that you're in my life. Right? So what I'm talking about is, look at, when we're walking by faith and faith in the work that Jesus did and the loving kindness that He gave to us when He was nailed to the cross and took our sins for us, it's like, thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Whew. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's go on. Verse 6, but just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And this is going to be quoted out of Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And again, our sins aren't covered. We're beyond that. They're taken away. I just love that. Okay. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Now that's an accounting term. And think about that if your life was dictated by a ledger. And again, we've got computer programs to do this. But in the old days, you used to have to have a ledger book. And most of us are old enough to remember the ledger book. And in the ledger book, the accountants used those. And in one column was all of your assets. And the other was all of your liabilities. And one was your income and one was your debt. Well, if your debt superseded your income and your liabilities, your assets, that's called bankruptcy. Right? Right? Well, I don't know about you, but my sins would bankrupt me if they were imputed to me. But Jesus bore my sins on the cross so that all of those offenses, in Colossians it says, the handwriting of the ordinance that were against you have been wiped out. They've been clear. The books are covered. I'm blessed. I said, I'm blessed. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only or upon the uncircumcised also? He's saying, this is the book of Romans written to Gentile believers, right? From a Jewish man. Paul was a Jew of Jews, right? He never renounced that, never backed off from that. He was a Jew and he even gave his lineage of where he came from. But watch this. He says, does this blessedness come because of my religious background and affiliation, or does it come because of my faith in the Messiah? In other words, again, it's not what I do. It's not, I don't want to be controversial, but I just have to be. It doesn't matter. Again, necessarily what day I worship Jesus on. It doesn't matter, right? Some of those things are good. I don't have any problem with that. But if we're based on what our actions are, then we've come out from grace and gotten back into the law. The only reason I can go boldly into the throne of grace is because of His mercy and His loving kindness. But I'm applying that to my heart.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And again, I'm not against anybody who wants to do whatever they want to do as a part of their faith. But if their faith is superseded by their works, we're in trouble.
Right?
Right? Okay. Watch this now. Does His blessedness then come through circumcision only or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it counted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? While circumcised, but while uncircumcised. In other words, he didn't receive or it wasn't accounted to him for righteousness before he was circumcised. He was circumcised after God made him righteous as a sign that this is who I am.
Right.
I'm a child of God. This is who's made me to be. All right. Let's go on. I mean, I could spend at least an hour just in these verses, but I need to go on. Verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of righteousness of the faith with which he had was still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all of those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that the righteousness by may be imparted to them also. In other words, here's the deal. He was uncircumcised. God said, you're blessed. And because he was blessed, works came out of his blessing, right? About what God had done for him. If the Bible says that we are saved through grace by faith unto good works. I'm not saying that your life, you get saved and then you just live any way you want to. That's stupid, right? That's stupid. What I'm saying is that grace was given to me and I accepted that grace. And out of the gratefulness and the thankfulness of the atoning work of Jesus, I'm going to live the rest of my life for Him because of what He's done for me. And that's not going to be to try to gain more right standing with God. It's because He's already given me right standing with Him. And how can I not serve Him with all of my heart? Hallelujah. Verse 12. And the father of circumcision to those who are not only are of circumcision, but those who walk in the steps of faith, which Father Abraham, while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In other words, the whole point is, my right standing with God is because Jesus took my sin so that I could be made right with Him. So good. All right. Let's go back to Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. I just got to tell you the story, and you probably heard me tell it before, but it's so good right here. There was a man, he had a vision, and he was taken up to heaven in this vision. And he went into this room, and this room was just, I mean, it was huge, massive room. And it was nothing but file cabinets from floor to ceiling all the way around this room. And in those file cabinets, they were alphabetically numbered. And so he's sitting in this room and kind of wondering all about it. And then Jesus walks in the room. And as he's walking into the room, he notices Jesus going over toward the file cabinet that's with his initial. And Jesus opens the drawer, and it's one of those long file cabinets. And he goes through that, and he comes to his name. And he's thinking, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. That contains everything I've done, every thought I've ever had, I've done some things I'm not proud of. And he's about to look at my file. And he pulls the file out and under his name. And of course, there's lots of things in there. And he takes and pricks his finger so the blood starts to come out. And he just goes through line by line by line by line by line, that every one of his transgressions are taken care of. He puts the file back in the folder and slaps it back in. That's you. That's me. That's a picture of how God views us. Hallelujah. Again, watch this. In whose spirit, verse 2, there is no deceit. Come on. God's not playing games with us. Now watch this, verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, though my groaning all the day long, For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Here's what he's talking about. He said, before I acknowledged my need for atoning, it drained me. So watch this. Again, when I'm in a situation of denial, or I'm not listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling me, it's going to cause me to not be in the best shape mentally, physically, emotionally, or anything. Right? Let me just give you a for instance. And there have been a few people in my life that I've had harder times forgiving than others. And when I say that, it's not like I forgive you before you offend me, so you can't offend me, right? That's the way I try to live my life. But there have been people who've done things to me to hurt me, right? And sometimes it wasn't their fault completely. I had a part in it. But here's the point, is that I have a choice to make on whether I'm going to follow the Word and forgive them or not forgive them. But if I don't forgive them, then my life is going to be one where I feel like things are wrong. Things are against me. Things aren't right with me. There's a heaviness over me. And it's not God putting that heaviness on me. It's my resistance to the Holy Spirit's direction for me to live my life. That's not a good place to be, right? But all of us have probably been there at one time or another. But watch, let's go on, because this is really good. This is really good. Verse 5 says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So good. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, you know, if you say that you don't sin or haven't sinned, you're a liar. He said, but if you come to God, He is faithful to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's an amazing statement. It's one thing to be forgiven. All right, I got that covered. No problem. But you don't understand. That'd be like taking your car and the car's, you know, 10 years old and it's, you know, paint imperfections and all that kind of thing. And you take it and you have it washed. You have it washed and it looks a lot better. I mean, it looks clean. There's no dirt on it or whatever. But then you take it across the street and have it detailed. And in the detail, they spend about 8 hours working with compound and removing all the imperfections in that paint. And all of a sudden you get that car back and you go, that's not my car. Why? Because it's not just that your sins have been forgiven, but you've been cleansed from the unrighteousness. I'm not getting to heaven just going in and going, well, shoo, I made it. Right? And there's been songs and hymns in the, just give me a cabin in the back street of heaven. Right? And I get the sentiment, the humility of that. But the reality is, I'm not going just forgiven. I'm going cleansed. Again, there was a song, Evie. This was years ago. I know some of you will remember it. But the lyrics were, clean before the Lord I stand. And in me, not one blemish does He see. Wow. Wow. Why? Because I look through my eyes and I know my limitations and I'm very aware of my you know, things that aren't as up to par and whatever. But through His eyes, because of the atoning blood in me, not one blemish does He see. He's forgiven me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And watch this. There's a lot of folks who won't acknowledge their need for Jesus. Especially those who are not saved yet. They heard the gospel, but that's not for me. Or some will even say, well, yeah, I understand that, but I'll get to that later. I got partying to do now. Right? But how tragic is that? Right? Because it might come too late. And if you stay in that long enough, you might harden your heart to it. But how many Christians where God is trying to lead us to a place of repentance? You know that word in Romans where he says it's his goodness that leads us to repentance. And that word repentance means to change our way of thinking or change our viewpoint or change the very foundation of our thought process so that begins to line up with his. Why? Because he knows how we should live to where we'll get the best outcome. Amen? It's so good. Hallelujah. All right. I like this. Unacknowledged sin always begins misery. Right? I've been in situations in pastoring all of these years where, you know, again, if the scales were tipped, the person that offended or did whatever, in my eyes, their weight was way down here and mine was up here. But there was still something on my plate. It doesn't matter what they did. What matters is what I've done. I mean, it's growing up as a kid. You know, I could never use the excuse with my mom, well, Mikey did it. Mikey's mom let him do it. My mom, and I can hear her say this, I am not Mikey's mom. Right? And so, again, it's like, Lord, this is between me and you. David said it this way, examine my heart, Lord, and if there's anything between me and you, I want to know it. And I think we should do that on a daily basis, actually, before we go to sleep. And it doesn't have to be a big thing, and I'm not saying, oh, God, look at me and see all this iniquity. But just, hey, Lord, if there's something that I'm not aware of, I'm ready to listen. Absolutely. And when I hear it, I'm going to repent or change my way of thinking and my way of actions because you've pointed it out to me. So life will be good if we do that. Hallelujah. For this cause, verse 6, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time where you may be found. Surely in a great flood of water, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble, and you surround me with songs of deliverance. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Lord, I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. Amen. It's like that's the reality that we live in. Come on. Hallelujah. Look, it's so good. We're not ones who are foolish, but we're ones who don't draw back from him. We follow his directions. Watch this. This is so good. I got to show you this. God is our refuge. Let me say that again. God is our refuge. Very familiar. You know it. You can turn to it if you want. But in Psalm 91. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm just going to break it down. This is not a Hebrew translation, but it's my translation. He who lives with God in His presence and in the presence of His Word, that's the secret place. God, I'm your servant. I'm under your control. Whatever you say, I'm going to do. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now watch this. If that's our position, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowlers and from the perilous pestilence. Come on. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He's the place that I run to when those that are attacking me and accusing me come to me. And even my thoughts that are contrary to what God has told me, which sometimes our thoughts can lead us down places that we don't want to go. So instead of running from God, we run to Him because He's our refuge. Story of a friend of mine, he's a pastor. Man of faith, power. And he quotes these particular verses over himself all the time. He was riding his motorcycle. He lives in Vancouver. He's riding his motorcycle. And a car just came right out in front of him. And so he hit that car and flew off of his bike and was, you know, unconscious for a little bit. And so he was okay. Survived that all right and everything. But he was, Lord, Lord, I'm in a Psalm 91 guy. I feel like I should have been protected from that. And the Lord told him this. He said, listen, He said, I would deliver you from the snare of a fowler. In other words, you might be in the trap, but I'll get you out of the trap. So in other words, when things aren't going exactly the way we think they are, and we our mind can go to the place of, God, why weren't you there? Why didn't you do that? No. You're just in the midst of the trap. But God, if you'll look to Him, will lift you out of that trap so that the snare won't take you over. Are you with me? Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Come on. So good. Jesus has taken my place. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God in whom I will trust. And when do we have to say that? We have to say that, watch this, we have to say that when we're in the midst of trouble. We have to say that in the midst of trouble. We have to be ones who, even when we're going through stuff, Lord, You're my refuge, You're my fortress. How long and how often should we say that? The deeper the water is, the cloudier, the darker the clouds are, I think the more that we need to say it. Yeah. And we need to stand in that. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. I don't care what I'm feeling. I don't care what, even if depression is coming against me, I am going to rejoice and be glad because my sins have been forgiven. I've been made right with God. I am the righteousness of God who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Psalm 32. And we've got to close. We've got to wrap this up. And verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Again, this psalm, again, was played or was sung after the atonement, right? After the atoning sacrifice was accomplished. Our atoning sacrifice has been accomplished. And this is a command. Watch this. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. You know, sometimes rejoicing starts out like this. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. I am rejoicing as a choice. I'm not rejoicing because I want to or I feel like it, but I'm rejoicing because I'm remembering who He was and what He did. He forgave my iniquity. He cleansed my diseases. He takes care of me. He meets my needs. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to laugh out loud even when I want to cry, scream, whine, complain, and moan on purpose. I'm going to rejoice and listen and shout for joy. Shout for, there's something about shouting. Well, you don't want to get too emotional. Yes, I do. Absolutely, I do. Because my emotions are trying to take me a different place. So I'm going to shout for joy in the midst of my sorrow because I'm looking to the one who has protected me, who's taken care of me, who has served me. Come on. Has given himself to me. Real quick, 31 or Psalm 33 verse 1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you His righteous. Praise from the upright is beautiful." Think about that for just a minute. All of us are here in this room. But because we come to the Father in the name of Jesus, we're before the throne room right now. And when we just lift our hands and praise you, Lord. Lord, I just want to acknowledge your goodness. I want to thank you for all your goodness. I want to just praise you and exalt you and just love on you and tell you how great I think that you are. Praise the Lord. Praise the beauty of your holiness. He's receiving that right now, this second, as something that's beautiful to Him. Think about that for just a minute. Beautiful to God. I've been places in this country that I thought were beautiful. But then I've been to places that supersede that beauty. I've got to hurry. But I was in Europe and I was coming. I was by myself at this time. And I was coming from Italy over the Alps into Switzerland. And I woke up in the morning. It was in December. Woke up in the morning and the sun came up. Here I'm in the midst of these beautiful, incredible mountains that I'd never been in before. It was so beautiful. Right? It was spectacular. God says when we stand in praise to Him, He sees it as spectacular. Spectacular. For the praise of the upright is beautiful. Okay. Let's go to I'm going to skip a few of these. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. Throw that up there. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. I'm reconciled to God. You're reconciled to God. Are we rejoicing in that? When's the last time you rejoiced over the fact that Jesus paid the way so that you could be right with God? You know, in Philippians, he talks about rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And in the book of Ezra, we're not going to turn there, but in chapter 3, this is Ezra is the book where the temple had been destroyed and they had been in captivity. But they came back and Ezra had, he was one of the priests and he had permission to start rebuilding the temple so that they could offer the sacrifices again, right? The ritual sacrifices. And so they had the whole foundation laid. And so Ezra said, man, let's all get up because it's time. And we are now entering into the ability to give the sacrifices so that our sins can be atoned for again. And it said, man, they got up there. They had the musicians and everybody shouting. And just a great sound went out from that Temple Mount because they could come back to the presence of God. And the presence of God was going to reside with them again. I'm telling you tonight that we are in a much better position. Because the atoning sacrifice has already been accomplished. And not only that, we have access into His throne room 24/7. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name tonight. I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I bless His holy name. For He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Praise You, Lord. We worship You. We worship You. For all those that are watching online, I want to thank You for joining us. Just go into His presence right now. I know some of you are in pain and some of you are facing crises and all that, but just for a second, well, not for a second, leave all of that on the outside. Enter into the Holy of Holies and begin to worship Him. He'll take care of all of those things. Father, I pray for everybody that's watching in Jesus' name. I thank You for the anointing. The same anointing that is here is going into their living room, into their car, into their offices right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for breaking the yoke of the enemy's lies over them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for watching.